אתם עם SBS בעברית. Our next guest in our program is Jeremy Stowe Lynchner, the principal of Bialy College in Melbourne. Shalom Jeremy and thanks for joining us today.
Shalom Amit, thank you for having me on.
A few words about your role and what you do?
Sure, so I have the privilege of being here in Melbourne, the principal of Bialy College, which is a creche through to year 12 school of around 1,100 children from 3 months to 18 years. We have about, we reckon about 8% of our children have an Israeli-born parent. So we probably have about 100 Israeli children at the school and a few dozen Israeli staff. We're certainly a bit of a ground zero for the Israeli community. Before Bialik, I was principal of a school in the UK, the first non-Orthodox Jewish high school in the UK called JCOS. Here I'm in Melbourne. I've been here for 11 years, it's a wonderful place to be.
Great. A couple of weeks ago, you condemned a post by the independent Kuyong MP Monique Ryan. Now, it is not often that principals of Jewish schools get into a political storm, but could you please tell us what happened?
Yes. Monique Ryan is the MP for our local area that Bialik sits in. And after the massacre on 7th of October, Dr. Ryan gave a speech in Parliament and was very balanced in her views. And in the weeks since then, we have heard nothing from Dr. Ryan on the conflict, nothing online, nothing in person. And then that silence was broken by a post on social media that expressed support for children on the Palestinian side. And I think we're all getting a little fed up of situations where when it was trendy to support Israel and to support the murder of Jews, there was positive voices there. And in the weeks that followed, we're seeing from some either a silence or a support for one side. And I wanted to emphasize with Dr. Ryan that I have every belief that she should be supporting victims on the Palestinian side, but she should also be expressing sympathy for victims on the Israeli side as well. And I think her constituents are looking for some balance.
Many members of the community are naturally shocked by the horrific events that took place on the 7th of October. On top of that, they can't comprehend the appalling anti-Semitic and anti-Israeli protests that are taking place in Melbourne, Sydney and elsewhere. What can the community do about it?
Look, I think it's a really good question. I think from the perspective of a school, there is a particular challenge because our main constituents are children. And we need to support our children to be children, to be in a childlike setting, even though what they're confronted with at different stages of their ages, depending if they're online or they're in conversations or they're seeing things on media and so on, is certainly not childlike in any way. I think the challenge we're all facing is multifold. Firstly, look, it's likely to get worse before it gets better. This is not quick, this is slow. And I think the human mind, in my view, looks for simplicity. It looks for black and white, good, evil, goodies and baddies. And you know, when you think of things like Russia, Ukraine, it's easy. When you think of ISIS, it's easy. When you think of the Taliban, it's easy. And what we're being faced with is a complex situation. It seemed easy on the 7th of October. And I think for many on the left, it seems easy now, but it's not. It's complex. And I think we've all got to find the right line between being advocates for our people and our community, whilst at the same time not making things overly simplistic or overly shrill. That those in the wider community, they're also, many of them are getting on with their lives. And for us, this is absolutely crucial and central. And, you know, in many respects, the future of aspects of humanity depends on this. But for others, it's far more, you know, contextualized. Well, I think what adults do and what children do are different. I think as far as adults are concerned, we can do things reactively and positively. I think we should be acknowledging those politicians who are doing the right and the moral and the brave thing. Deputy Prime Minister Richard Marles comes to mind. He's also the Defence Minister. He has been, I think, a standout in support. There's been a letter from six ex-prime ministers condemning Hamas and their misinformation. So I think we've also got to not just protest and rally and do things for our own community, whether it's fundraising, whether it's food raising, whether it's asset raising for people in Israel, but also we should be articulating support for those who are being moral and brave beyond our community. I think that's really important. I think we should also be educating, and we should be finding ways of staying articulate and calm when we do that. But I don't think, you know, as I think my letter to Dr. Ryan is an example, I don't think we should be shy of having a voice, of having a letter, having, you know, but at the same time, when it comes to children, we should not be expecting of them what we expect in any way of adults. They have a right to childhood.
Yeah. Most of the community leaders prefer to work behind the scenes and not to rock the boat. Do you think that this is a wise approach?
I think you need a bit of both. I think you need people behind the scenes and you need people at front of house. And I think, look, I don't know. I'm a school principal. I'm not a politician. But it seems to me that I think we've got a combination of both, recognizing at the same time that Australia is not a major player in the Middle East. When Australia says turn left, no one in the Middle East is turning left. If Australia says turn right, no one's listening. You know, if this was the United States or Russia or in a more limited way, the United Kingdom, you know, it's different. But at the same time, I think we have to take some comfort or some despair, depending on your perspective, that Australia is a very minor player in that part of the world.
We've heard from several Jewish academics, teachers, lawyers, doctors, psychologists and more about a wall of silence from their colleagues, if not open hostility towards Israel. And again, they are very upset about that attitude. Mm. What would you suggest to friends and colleagues who all of a sudden feel isolated and even denigrated for being Jewish?
Well, I think there's two aspects. I think there's being isolated and there's being denigrated. I think there is, I do hear a lot you know, from friends and family members who work in the non-Jewish world, that the silence is at times overwhelming. Look, I think there's an awkwardness to it. I think what I said earlier about the complexity of the situation, but knowing that there are Jewish people here, I think there's an awkwardness to it in that wider community. But I think, you know, working in what's hopefully an emotionally aware and sensitive environment, talking to people using I feel statements, it's very easy to argue with you are, this is, and so on. But explaining to colleagues, this is how I feel at the moment. You know, are you okay? I don't feel okay at the moment. This is why I don't feel. That's okay. And if they're genuine colleagues and friends, they'll listen and hear that. I think being denigrated is a whole different story. And I think what we're seeing on campus with our students is particularly challenging. And I think that's where the wider community can come in to support Orgis and the students who are facing some pretty wild situations.
And we are speaking to Jeremy Stowe-Lingner, the principal of Bialy College in Melbourne. Jeremy, when we ask Israeli friends, what can we do for Israel, many tells us to do hasbara, to explain, especially at present when it is fighting in order to save the hostages and to ensure the safety of its citizens. Do you think that teachers, students and their parents could and should contribute to hasbara? And if yes, then how?
Look, to a limited extent, I think firstly there's hasbara within our community, and I think it's very important that we in schools educate our children about the complexity of the situation. At the same time, I feel very strongly that we shouldn't be putting our school children into a position of hasbara at the moment. And there's a few reasons for that. The first reason is that we have their well-being at the forefront of mind, And the kind of things that our school children are seeing and have seen after the 7th of October, particularly on social media, are images and truths that in our worst nightmares and most terrible horror films, we would never see. And when you get into a Hasbara mode, you have to start talking about these, or these things are thrown at you. And what we actually need with our children right now is to get them off the social media, is to get them off this constant news cycle, because what is damaging to our adult brains, we can, you know, exponentially grow that damage to a damage to an unformed developing mind. So I feel very strongly that our students shouldn't be in that position. Our young adults can, and we can support them. We as adults can, but I think in a school context, it's not right to expose our children to that. We need to support and protect them at the moment from the horror that's out there.
What else can the Jewish schools do in order to strengthen the community and make us feel more secure?
I think that's a really good question. And what I would say is the Jewish schools are here for all of our community, in that we have a good uptake of children attending Jewish schools. I think now more than ever, we realize that, you know, the connection between Israel and the diaspora, between Jews themselves and the diaspora, is such an incredibly strong personal, familial, cultural, religious, national, whatever you want to call it, bond, that we need to hug each other tight. And the Jewish schools are here for the many, many children that aren't in Jewish schools. And for those families that are saying, well, it's a private education, if I can afford it, come and talk to us. Come and talk to us, at least have the conversation. Yes, they are gold standards of education and high standards of education, and it does come at a price, but it may well be more affordable than everybody thinks. And the fact that at Bialik we have over 100 children of Israeli heritage, I think says that the Jewish schools are here for our community, and now more than ever, not more than ever, I think if families have thought about coming to a Jewish school, then take that step, give us a call, and let's see if we can make it work.
I've got one last question. As a principal of a Jewish school, what would be your message for Jews and non-Jews so they can better understand the challenges that many Jewish communities face these days?
Look, I just would say what I said to our colleagues in our school, that we have if you think of it as concentric circles of staff, and we have our non-Jewish staff. Who, I mean, a school like Bialik, we employ nearly 300 people, and half of our staff aren't Jewish. So that's a significant number of non-Jewish staff who, during this time, must see the great tension of being nothing other than supportive and kind. But that's very stressful still for them to be in the environment that they're in. And then we have our non-Israeli Jewish staff who are feeling the pain of family and friends and the connections with Israel. But that inner circle of Israeli colleagues and Israeli members of the community, where when they see a street on television, they know that street. They know the person involved in this or that situation. It is a time of enormous pain. And, you know, we are Am Yisrael. We are one people. And I think this is a time when we who are not Israeli really need to emphasize and hold our Israeli brothers and sisters close.
Jeremy Stoll-Lingner, the principal of Bialik College in Melbourne. Thank you so much for speaking to us today.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you. רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.